Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to be worshiping with you once again this morning. Before I read the scripture, I just want to thank you, Maddie, for coming and singing that. For me, it's not Advent unless I'm in a church and somebody's singing O Holy Night. And you fulfilled that for me today and did it so beautifully. Thank you so much. Luke 2. Familiar passage. If you've ever watched the Charlie Brown Christmas, you know Luke 2. We're going to read the first 20 verses of this wonderful chapter and then take a look at some aspects of it together. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Lord, we've heard the story many times. Teach us this morning perhaps something new. Give us a fresh understanding. May your truth be made relevant to our lives today. Teach us from your truth, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. You're probably all familiar with the term bucket list. You know what that means? It means the list of things that you hope to do or accomplish or experience before you die. Or you kick the bucket. That's where the term comes from. And my guess is we all have certain things that we'd very much like to be able to do someday if the Lord should give us that opportunity. While we still are here on earth. 2 years ago, I got to do one of mine. And I bet you it wouldn't have been on any of your lists. If I would have made a bucket list by that time, one of the top things on it was I wanted to visit Pompey's Pillar. Does anybody have any idea what Pompey's Pillar is? I knew it. And now you know how strange I am that that would be on a bucket list. Let me explain. I happen to be very fascinated, always have been, by the Lewis and Clark expedition, 1803, 1804. And I've done quite a bit of reading and research and so forth into that whole expedition. And when Lewis and Clark were coming back after spending the winter near the Pacific Ocean, they split up at one point. Meriwether Lewis took a few of the guys and went this way, and William Clark went this way. And during that time, William Clark came upon an outcropping of rock. And he climbed about halfway up there, and he chiseled his name in, William Clark, and the year. It is still there. And it is the only remaining tangible evidence of their journey. And I always wanted to see it. And 2 years ago, finally I did. It's in Montana. And I got to tell you something. It's really not all that impressive. Visually. But what it signified was very special to me. I could envision William Clark standing there doing that. And the fact that it's proof, it's the only tangible evidence, really, that the journey even took place. I don't know what would be on your bucket list if you had one. Your choice of an event to attend, perhaps, something you always wanted to go to. If you're a sports fan, maybe the Super Bowl or World Series. If you have a favorite recording artist or group or orchestra or something, maybe a concert in a really beautiful venue that you've always wished you could do. Maybe a historical event like an inauguration of a president, or a beautiful event like the Rose Parade, or just an awesome event like watching a space launch at Cape Canaveral. There are many things that you might think of that you would enjoy. Maybe yours is something you've always wanted to see, like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or something of the sort. If you were to ask the average Jewish person in the first century what was on their bucket list, I can tell you what would be at the top of it for every single one of them, and that is, I want to be here and see the Messiah when he shows up. When the Messiah arrives, wouldn't that be wonderful to be there and to witness that event? Actually, that would have been the answer for Jewish men and women for centuries before that. To actually be there when the promised Messiah arrived, that would be the ultimate. A devout Jew would probably spend all the money he had to see that event. Well, we now know that the Messiah did come. His name was Jesus. And only a very privileged few got to witness that event. And it was not the wealthy. It wasn't the powerful. It wasn't the movers and shakers, the aristocrats, the high and mighty of society that received that awesome privilege. No, it was a group of blue-collar, ordinary, working class, marginalized by society, shepherds. These humble men had the incredible privilege of experiencing what everybody else wanted to experience. They got to be there and to see that Messiah had come. Why them? Have you ever asked that? Why them? Well, the Bible doesn't say. We know that shepherds played a central role in Israel's history. David was a shepherd, and Moses had spent time as a shepherd, and Amos the prophet was a shepherd. We know that in the Psalms we read, "The Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want." So shepherds were important. We know that Jesus later on, as an adult, would proclaim that he was the good shepherd. But why God chose these shepherds, we really don't know. Maybe it's because God knew they'd be receptive to the message from the angel. Maybe it would be because it would be illustrative of the fact that Christ didn't come just for the high and mighty, but for the humble, the ordinary, the common, dare I say, regular people like we are. The shepherds had the opportunity of a lifetime. Let's see how it all came about. First of all, what were they doing when all of this happened? Well, what we read is they were living out in the fields nearby, keeping their watch over their flocks at night. It was an ordinary night, a night like how many hundreds of others that they had spent. Just doing what they always were doing. After a long day of herding their grazing flock, they settled in on a hillside for the night under the stars, staying vigilant. The crowds, well, the crowds were in Bethlehem following the edict of the Roman government. That's where the crowds were. If the shepherds had tried to go into Bethlehem, they probably would have been shunned. People didn't like shepherds. They were considered by many to be dirty. They were actually denied temple privileges in Jerusalem, denied the opportunity to testify in court. All of that is kind of ironic because the lambs and the sheep that they were raising were not for food. They were to be used as sacrifices where? At the temple. So they raised the lambs and sheep, but they weren't allowed to go. All of that is just to tell you a little bit about where the shepherds are and the whole social order of things of the day. And it was just an ordinary night for these guys doing what they did. There was no expectation that anything special was about to happen. Just an ordinary night until it became a night like none other. What happened to them that night? The unusual, the extraordinary, the unprecedented. Writer by the name of Matt Smethurst wrote this: "These shepherds had never seen a distant town illuminating the midnight sky. Electric lights were still 18 centuries away. They certainly never had seen fireworks. Every single evening, the darkness descended yet again to engulf them, to swallow them up. No category existed in their mind for the dazzling display that lit up the sky and their lives. Suddenly, boom, this incredible display. No wonder they collapse in terror. Suddenly, with no warning apparently, must have startled them tremendously. The angel of the Lord came and spoke to them." Maybe the same angel who spoke to Mary and Joseph and Zechariah before. And remember, I've told you that when you think of angels, don't think of cute little cherubim floating around. Angels were great and mighty, awesome warriors of God. And they were afraid. The shepherds were afraid. Common reaction to seeing an angel. We see that all throughout Scripture. And the angel says to them, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." It announces the birth of a child, not just any child, but a child who is the Messiah. And he gives them the time and the location. Today, in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then he tells them how to find him. You will find the child wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then the sky is filled with this huge number, multitude of angels offering incredible worship to God, which is, by the way, what angels do. They're doing it now before the throne. That's what they do. And someday we will be able to hear that beautiful music that the shepherds heard that night. And then the angels leave, and there's the shepherds. Now it's dark again. On the hillside, sheep still there. Everything back to normal, right? Well, how could it be after something like that? But there they are, which leads us to the next step. What did they do? Well, they acted on what they heard from the angel. They did what they were told. I want you to note something. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever noticed, the angel never tells them to go. There's no command here. He said, this will be a sign unto you. You will find the baby. Okay, this is how you'll find him. But it wasn't a command that they go. They had to make a decision. Would they go and follow up on what the angel told them or not? There was no, you better go or else. This is a one-time opportunity. Don't blow it. No. Just, this is where the baby is. This is what's happened. And then they leave. So now the shepherds had to make a decision. I wonder how much discussion there might have been. I, from my years of ministry in Baptist churches, have been a part of group decision-making all my life. Group decision-making is easy, isn't it? No. No, it's not. Any of you ever gone out for pizza with other people and tried to decide what to order? Well, how many should we get? Well, I like pepperoni. Well, I like onion. Well, I don't like any of that. I want to say, well, what was happening with the shepherds? Could you imagine, this shows you I'm a little strange, but bear with me. Can you imagine this happening? One of the shepherds says, you know, let's not be hasty here. Let's think through this now. Let's weigh the advantages and the disadvantages. What are the possible outcomes? The positive scenarios, the negatives. And let's do some research first and then come back and we'll figure out whether we should go or not. And maybe another one said, well, I don't know about anybody else, but I've had a long day and I'm tired. And I just crawled under the blankets. I don't really feel like getting up and going into Bethlehem right now, if you don't mind. And another one said, well, mate, what about the sheep? I mean, who's gonna be with them while we're gone? Somebody's got to take the responsibility here. We can't just all go off running willy-nilly to see this thing. And then someone might have said, you know what? They just had a baby. Maybe they don't want any unannounced visitors right now. Especially those they don't know. And especially we shepherds who people frown on anyway. Maybe it would be the more loving thing just to leave them there and let them deal with what has happened in their lives. And then somebody says, you know what, I've been thinking, maybe all of this was a hallucination, you know? I mean, come on, angels? Did we really see what we thought we saw? We don't know what went on with those shepherds. But the bottom line is that they went. They acted on what God had told them. They had the opportunity of a lifetime. And they took it. They took it. As a result, they saw what nobody else saw. As a result, we're talking about them 2,000 years later. Can you imagine how they would have felt if up the road somewhere they discovered that that baby really was Christ? And they missed it. They acted on what they were told. They went to the manger. Now, finally, what did they do when they got there? And when they returned? They searched for the baby. They found the baby. And then it says they spread the news. About what they had been told about this child. It says everybody was amazed at what they said. I'm sure they were. But they spread the news. How could they not? Look what they had experienced. Look what they had the privilege of doing. Of course they're going to tell other people. And then they did something else. As they were coming back, it says they were glorifying and praising God. They worshiped God. God was worshiped at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly sojourn by these shepherds and later by the Magi. Jesus is worshiped now in the halls of heaven. Jesus will be worshiped for all eternity. Jesus is being worshiped today at Second Baptist Church in Bodenham. In every place on earth where people are gathering to praise Jesus Christ, our Messiah. They worshiped. That's what happened. The opportunity of a lifetime that the shepherds were given. What's the application for us today? I think the application is, among many things, is that sometimes opportunity knocks only once. Sometimes there's no guarantee of a second opportunity. We don't know what the future is going to hold. We think we know, but we don't. That point has been driven home to me in a stark way in the last few months. And I don't want this to be a downer, but I have a reason for telling you this. In the last 3 months, 4 months, Wanda, I guess, a 50-year-old man I know, married 4 children. I baptized his wife. I dedicated his children. He was involved in a ministry, universally loved and respected. 50 years old. Dropped dead. With no warning. Yesterday, Wanda and I were at a funeral service for a 40-year-old lady whose life ended very suddenly and tragically, was the daughter of a very good friend of ours. And just this week, I received word that a very important person in my life, a fellow pastor, has 5 boys. His 20-year-old son died suddenly 3 days ago. 50-year-old, 40-year-old, 20-year-old. And I can't help but make the connection for me that, again, we don't know what the future will hold for any of us. None of those things were expected. We don't know when opportunities are going to cease for doing whatever it is God has called us to do. We just simply don't know. God does. And if he's giving us opportunities to do whatever it is he's telling us to do, then we had best take them. Because opportunities often don't come around again. Has God been speaking to you about something? Maybe he's been speaking to you about salvation. You've never actually, truly given your life to Jesus Christ. How many more opportunities will you have? Don't know. 2 Corinthians 6:12 says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation." It can be. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, asked him into your life. Maybe God has been laying somebody on your heart that he wants you to talk to about Jesus. You say, well, I'll get around to it if the opportunity presents itself. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. And Christmas, by the way, is a great time to do that because it's very easy to transition from talking about Christmas to talking about the reason for Christmas. Maybe God's been telling you you need to help somebody you know who's in need. Lend aid to somebody. Maybe God's been speaking to you about giving financially to a particular cause or need that's going to help people in the name of Christ. Maybe God's been speaking to you about a relationship you have with somebody that's not good. It needs to be mended and healed. And you've been just waiting and almost hoping that it will just kind of happen by itself, but it hasn't. Is this the opportunity God's giving to you? Maybe it's a task or responsibility that God has been telling you, and you know that God's been talking to you about this. Maybe it has to do with something within the church ministry, maybe outside of it. I don't know what God is saying to anybody else here. But when I think of the shepherds, I think of the fact that they had an opportunity that only came once. And they took it. So what's the message for us in the shepherds? It's to keep our eyes open. To be awake and alert, sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then have the willingness to follow through on whatever it is God is leading you to do, because you don't know if there'll be another opportunity. This Christmas season, let's follow the example of the shepherds. They seem to have done five things, each beginning with the letter A. I think Frank may be putting that up there. I can't. Somewhere. It's up there. Okay. It's interesting, by the way, preaching, not knowing what's in back of you. I just want you to know that. Trusting Frank to put up with. And he does, so I appreciate you, Frank, very much. But here's what the shepherds did. First of all, they were attentive. They listened. They gave the angel their attention. Listened, considered. The second thing is they were awed. Not O-D-D, but A-W-E-D. They were awed. Filled with wonder and amazement that God would ask anything of them, that God would tell them anything of his eternal plan. Are we ever awed at the fact that God is with us and he's revealing his truth to us? Us? That's an awesome thing, and that's what awesome means. We use that word for all sorts of things. Full of awe. And then they acted. They acted upon what God told them. And then they announced. They told everybody. We can put it this way. They gave their testimony. They told people what God had done in their lives and was doing in their lives. The awesome thing it is to know God and to follow him. They announced. They announced that the Messiah was here. It's the same announcement we can make. Christ is here. And then finally, they adored. They adored him. They worshiped him. And I'm taking a big guess in saying that that adoration didn't last for just the rest of that night. But they would remember that night. And as they did, they would again do all five of these things. Be attentive, be awed, act, announce to others, and adore him. This Christmas season, as his followers, It wouldn't be a bad thing. In fact, it would be a good thing if we were to follow the example of the shepherds. Heavenly Father, thank you for the examples we have in the scriptures. The last couple of weeks, we looked at the example of Mary and Joseph, and now the shepherds. They were historical people, real people, dealing with extraordinary things. And in each one, we've been able to see an example that we should follow. This morning, Lord, remind us as we go through our day-to-day life, and maybe we see a depiction of the nativity scene in a Christmas card or in a window or in our own homes as we have little creches or whatever it happens to be. And when we see the shepherds standing there, use that as a reminder to us, Lord, to follow their example. Thank you for helping us and reminding us. In Christ's name, amen.